We're now going to be able to listen to the chimes and the bells from Logos.
Thank you. Our sermon scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 27, and can be found on page 1134 on the Pew Bibles. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. This is God's holy word.
One of the primary points of the Apostle Paul's mission ministry was his single-minded purpose, as we just read, in seeking people to win people for Christ. That's a focal point of Paul's mission ministry. He had a single-minded purpose, one main purpose that he stuck to. Here's an image of a postage stamp. Consider the purpose of a postage stamp. The usefulness of a postage stamp consists in the ability to stick to one thing until it gets delivered. A single-minded purpose. Or consider the story that the world-famous tenor Luciano Pavarotti tells about himself. His father introduced Luciano to the wonders of song, urging him to work very hard to develop his voice. There was also a professional tenor in Luciano's hometown of Modena, Italy, who took Luciano on as a pupil. And while he was learning, he also enrolled in a teacher's college. Upon graduating, Luciano asked his father, "Shall I be a teacher or a singer?" Luciano, his father replied, "If you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair." Luciano chose one. It took 7 years of study and frustration before he made his first professional appearance. It took another 7 years for him to reach the Metropolitan Opera. Luciano shares that whether it's laying bricks or writing a book, whatever a person chooses to do, they should give themselves fully to it. Commitment, single-minded purpose. That's the key, Pavarotti says. Choose one chair. It should come as no surprise that Jesus taught the very same lesson in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Henry Ford, industrialist and founder of the Ford Motor Company. Henry Ford once said, "A weakness of all human beings is trying to do too many things at once. That scatters effort and destroys direction. It makes for haste, and haste makes waste." So we do things all the wrong ways before we come to the right one. Mr. Ford then shared, "Every now and then, I wake up in the morning headed toward that finality with a dozen things I want to do. I know I can't do them all at once. And when asked what he did about that, Ford replied, "I go out and I trot around the house. And while I'm running off the excess energy that wants me to do too much, my mind clears and I see what can be done and what should be done first." Focus, attention, single-minded purpose. Paul's single-minded purpose was seeking to win people for Christ. In part, he describes the method he used in what we've read from verses 20 through 22. "To the Jews, I became like a Jew. To those under the law, I became like one under the law so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. To the weak, I became weak." As you read that passage, and I took out some of the parenthetical notes to try and focus our attention, but as you read that passage, you kind of wonder, did Paul become a chameleon? Did he change his appearance in order to fit in? Did he change his mindset? Did he change his message? What did he say or do differently when he became like a Jew? Or became like someone under the law? Or someone not under the law? Or when he became weak? With Paul's constant single-minded focus on winning people to Christ, in his focus for the sake of the gospel, we can understand that Paul adapted himself to whom he was talking to. Paul was able to come alongside anyone, seeking to learn who they were, what their interests were, opening the door for further conversation, eventually leading to conversing with them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message stayed the same: salvation through Jesus Christ. But he adapted his words and his behavior to fit the situation of the person or the people he was talking with. Paul summarizes his behavior and his message in the words of verse 22. "I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means, I might save some." Paul had that single-minded purpose to save some. Though I'm sure that Paul wanted to write to save all, he had come to know by his life and by his mission experience, not all people desire to be saved. But that doesn't stop him. With that single-minded purpose, he continues in his efforts to win people for Christ. In Galatians 6:2, Paul offers a glimpse into why his single-minded purpose is so important. Paul offers a glimpse of when he says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Paul had a concern. He had a concern for others. We've heard Gay's concern for others this morning. Paul had that concern that others could experience the light and the love of Jesus Christ. In my study this week, I read that the first three conditions, that of becoming like a Jew or like one under the law or like one not having the law, I read that those first three conditions were really setting the stage for the descriptive, decisive illustration, that of becoming weak. Note how Paul expressed himself on that fourth illustration, verse 22. "To the weak, I became weak." He doesn't say to the weak, "I like them became weak," but "I became weak." He himself became weak. He took on the condition. He took on the situation of being weak. And in thinking of what that means, wondering who are the weak, study shows that the weak are associated with people described as the low and the despised. The low and despised in contrast to the strong and those of noble birth, or those who hold places of honor in society in that day, such as the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief priests. The low and the despised brings to mind the tax collectors and sinners that Jesus was so often found eating with. The people of society that are traditionally looked down upon. When Paul became weak to win the weak to Christ, Paul was taking on the attitude of Christ Jesus himself, as Paul describes in his letter to the Philippians, Philippians 2. Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Through this passage of 1 Corinthians 9, we are challenged how we view people, what we think about people, how we interact with people. While Paul uses the word weak to illustrate his point, we should not see people as weak. We should see them as people. People to approach, people to care for, people we can share Christ with. This afternoon, members of the basic Sunday school class are headed to Toledo Gospel Rescue Mission. They'll lead the chapel service there and they'll provide a meal. Before and during the service and before and during and after the meal, they will have time to interact and fellowship with the people that come to that meal. We could consider them part of the weak of society, but we also know that they are people. And as servants, the people of St. John's must go with a kind and go with an open heart, focused on living and offering Christ's love. As Christians interact with people, the words of Paul in verse 23 should be kept in mind. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Such ministry interactions, such service, it's the call of the gospel, results in the sharing in the blessings of Christ. And Paul then uses a racing illustration to further describe his point of single-mindedness. In verses 24 through 27, do you not know that in the race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Run with determination. Run with focus. Run giving maximum effort. In verse 25, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. For the children's message, I was going to use two trophies I have up here from 1984 when a team from St. John's won the Wasion and the UMC basketball tournaments. But as I was watching the handbells, and whenever I watch a director, and I would have loved to have David Stuckey as my director back in 1984. Where he, you know, when they were directing, you know, he was when they rang, but I needed the director to point at me when it was my turn to ring. But that thing about, you know, maximum effort, strict training. When I signed up for a January term for handbell practice or handbell, 3 weeks, I didn't know that we were going to have a 2-hour practice every morning and every afternoon. I wanted to go to Biloxi with my sister, but because of wrestling, I had to stay on campus and I had to take a class, handbell, for 3 weeks, strict training. Well, that's the approach that we should give to everything in our faith. Strict training, living, practicing, applying our faith in every situation through our study and our prayer and our sharing. In verse 26, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Single-minded purpose, no aimlessness included. Paul did not let the wants and the desires of his physical body, he did not let those of ease and comfort and pleasure rule his direction. his inner soul of faith was in charge of his life. He exercised his faith. He preached to others. And he served as a herald. And by his example, we are challenged to have that single-minded purpose to love God and to love God's people. To his glory, amen.
As we prepare together our morning offering, please join me in a prayer of dedication. Generous God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, we freely give and present at your table this money, a symbol of the work you have given us to do. Please use it in us in the service of your world, to the glory of your name. Amen. I invite.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious.
I invite you to rise as you're able as we close our service with a couple of songs. We'll start with singing 10,000 Reasons, and after the spoken benediction, we will sing the new doxology.
the holy name of God, as you go forth, may it be with thankful hearts, continuing to worship him always. Amen.